When someone does us an honor or a favor, it's customary to thank them. And it's actually a form of respect when you give someone thanks in return for something they have done for you or given to you. If we fail to express our thanks, sometimes, at the very least, we're considered to be unappreciative, but sometimes we even cause offense. Because, again, it is expected that recognition of some gift or favor be given. And it is important, brethren, for us to be thankful. It is a theme that runs throughout the Bible, and it is an attribute that God wants us to have built into to our character. 2 Timothy in chapter 3 references a prophecy about the end time and a culture that will exist that will be very self-focused as compared to outwardly focused on others. It would be actually in many ways inwardly focused on the individuals. But 2 Timothy 3, Paul is writing, Timothy is a pastoral epistle. He says, "Know this, in the last days perilous times will come." There'll be times that are perilous. They're dangerous to the people who live in those days. Dangerous in what way? They're dangerous in a way that you can take on elements of the culture that will be detrimental to your Christian focus, to your worship of God. It says men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control. That's the limits, the self-control. It tells you where the stop is. You shouldn't have to be stopped by an external limit. Before God, we should be stopped by an internal limit, God's word in us. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So it talks about a culture where people are in part unthankful. One of the elements is just they do not show and they do not give thanks. It says, from such people turn away. It seems so weak almost in some way to seem like that would be part of a culture where we're talking unholy, blasphemers, you know, haters of good, and then you throw unthankful and they're like, well, that's such a light thing to be. But it's in the context of the culture where appreciation is not really shown or given. What it does, brethren, at least by percentage, it actually breaks down the strength of the culture, breaks down the strength of the relationships, and the ability to function in honestly in an orderly way. Louis Pasteur was studying why wine, in some cases, matured into wine, and why the grape juice actually matured in other ways into vinegar. And they were trying to find what the difference was. Why did one time it become vinegar and another time it became a wine? He came to understand in the course of those studies that disease was caused by germs, and that you could take and reproduce bacteria in a culture, and the culture would determine the outcome of what the fermentation then would be. Well, that's an analogy, effectively, in terms of what happens in society. Based on the bacteria, so to speak, bases on what the culture then becomes. If you culture being unforgiving and slanderous and without self-control, society breaks down. If you culture forgiveness and thankfulness and mercy, the culture is built up. We've gone through times in society where culture is up and down and up and down. There are times when society has been humbled by suffering and the culture has been rebuilt. And there are times when the society has been ruined almost by affluence and permissiveness. And the culture, again, begins to be focused more and more on self. Society is built by caring for others, not just caring for ourselves. But being thankful is honestly a courtesy, it's a sign of respect and honor to those that we relate to. If we're not careful, we take on the culture of the society around us if it breaks down, and then we break down with it. Luke 17, it's not like this is some new thing, obviously. It is the battle of our nature and the nature of this society and the society of 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. Satan has his infection that he inserts into the social system. God has his spirit and his influence, which he inserts as well. But you have to choose the one versus the other. It isn't a matter of God is just going to take Satan out of the way. You literally have to choose which it is that you will follow. But Luke 17 and verse number 11 tells a story of some lepers that were cleansed. Can you imagine being a leper, where you would have to remain separate from the rest of society, even physically? It says, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They weren't allowed to even come near. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were the outcasts compared to the Jews. They were always seen, the examples, the Samaritan woman at the well, the good Samaritan on the road, the Samaritan who was healed and gave thanks. It's always the contrast between the outsider doing what God wills compared to the insider who takes God's presence for granted and doesn't respond in a right way. But in verse 17, Jesus answered and said, "Well, weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" The outsider. And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Now I can't tell you exactly the limit of "your faith has made you well." All 10 were healed. One came and returned and gave thanks, and Christ responded that "your faith has made you well." The context would seem to indicate an opportunity there, a relationship there, an understanding and a knowledge of some kind. It doesn't spell out the distinction, because they were all healed. But this is a special circumstance. Being thankful is what God commands us to be, for our good. God does not need to hear our thanks for him to feel good about himself. God's not like that. God does not need to have our praise so that he can say, "Well, at least you recognize me. You know, I want to be recognized." God doesn't need that. Our praise and our thanks is certainly right and proper, but it is for our perspective. It is for our focus. And God certainly deserves and should be honored according to all of his power and his majesty. If you give someone something and they do not show any appreciation, are you going to give them more? Are you going to continue to contribute to them in some way if they despise or ignore your gracious gift? I think God as well would teach us to respond in an honorable way. If we want something from God, we need to also recognize who he is and grant him and give him that thanks for our own perspective. Paul gives many examples of just how deeply embedded this was into his own life and thoughts. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 3. When you look at Paul's writings, he's always mentioning the giving of thanks. And he's reminding the people he writes that he's giving thanks for them. And he tells them that. But in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Paul just said, in constant prayer on their behalf, he is also giving thanks. How much thanks have we given God today? How many things have we looked at and focused on and thanked God for in the process of our prayer and our focus? Paul opened almost all of his epistles expressing his thanks. In other letters, it goes a little bit further on before he brings it to focus. But in 1 Timothy, just going back, it starts out here in chapter 2. But again, Paul's consistent focus. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Giving of thanks. Thanks for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Thank God for peace, for permission, even in the civil authorities, to be able to come and go and to live and prosper and have opportunity. Pray to God on their behalf that they will provide for our abilities to be free. Now, God's the authority, but man can certainly make life unhappy. And Paul says, give thanks for those in authority and pray for them that they will allow us within our culture and our governance to have our freedom and our worship. Being thankful, I do believe, helps us to keep our focus, because it's so easy to get used to what we have. One of the things I've always enjoyed when we've had opportunity over the years to go backpacking or mountaineering and certain ways is you get down to the absolute essentials. What do you really need to have? Okay, toilet paper. That's like you get down the tree of needs and necessities. We're right down to that. And you know what? You can go down below that. But I'm just saying, it's simplicity. And it changes my perspective. It always kind of resets, because you come to expect convenience and comfort. You come to expect opportunity. And in some ways, when you get down to the fact that, you know what, I really don't have to have all those things to keep my focus and to pray to God and to be safe, then when you do have them, it makes you, I think, more thankful. Dari and I think I told the story one time. As we've traveled in Africa over the years, we get a single room. A single room in Africa is generally a very large bed, almost as much as the width of a king oftentimes, even in a single room, but not always. And from time to time, our single room has had more of a Western accommodation, to the point where one time, again, to save a little bit of travel expense, we came into an establishment, got a single room, walked into the room, and it was a twin bed. Now that's single. And I looked at Dari and I looked at the bed and I said, you know, that bed's the same size as my tent, my mountaineering tent. And we've had three people in that tent laying there, snuggled right up next to each other sideways like sardines in a can. One person moves, three people move. But I said, you know what? We've used it. I think we're just fine. So what we did was Dari slept one direction and I slept the other, because I needed my shoulders on his feet. Of course, you had to go wash your feet before you could go to bed, of course. But we slept, Dari and I, as friends, on a twin bed, spent the night, saved a buck for the church. But you could do it because you could say, well, I've done that, and it wasn't offensive. I could do it again. It's okay. You could be offended by the fact that you've been deprived of some benefit, or you could be thankful for the fact that you have opportunity in that way. The poorest of us live better than kings and queens have for millennia. in accommodations and circumstances that are abundant beyond our own imagination. And you know what? It hasn't necessarily made us happy. Happiness is not measured by comfort and convenience. Happiness is not measured by how thick your mattress is. Now, happiness is also not measured by whether or not you have to sleep on the floor. But the point being, happiness is not measured by those things. Those are benefits, and they're blessings, and we need to be thankful. But we shouldn't put ourselves in a position where we begin to imagine that that's what it takes to be happy, therefore I'm not thankful unless it is in place. Now, we should be thankful for that which we have. 2 Thessalonians, again, another example of Paul's writings. Verse 1. Excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it's fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly." Now, how did their faith grow exceedingly? How does your faith grow? Does your faith grow because you have a nice thick mattress and a big T-bone steak? Does that increase your faith? Increases our girth, not our faith. Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. You depend on each other more. You look to each other. Your focus is on each other's needs. He's saying he's giving thanks to God that they have become abundant in the midst of their trials, and that there has been a fruitful response. Verse 4, "So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure," which is the manifest or obvious evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. So in this case, Paul's actually giving thanks for the fact that they have suffered persecution and responded in a godly way. You know, that just goes beyond let's all be happy. It goes to let's all be fruitful. And again, Paul specifically gave thanks. Book of Romans. As Paul, in his prayers, made requests of God, he included thanks and mixed into his request his gratefulness and his gratitude, his appreciation. Romans 1, verse number 8. He says, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." Imagine how many times Paul said, "I keep you in my thoughts and prayers. I'm giving God thanks for you." In the course of his day, he had to literally be thinking about God's people and where they were, even to the point of specific individuals, and giving God thanks, because he says that's what he does. "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." So it wasn't just, here's my shopping list and here's what I need, here is my request, and I'm thanking you for your blessing and gift along with that as well. So when we ask God for his mercy in some way, either for ourselves or for others, we also need to thank him for what he's already done. Thank him for what we already have. Thank him for the times that he has already blessed us. As we were raising our children, we constantly would ask God to show them who he was in some way. Not some sign or wonder, just in his intervention and relationship, so that they would grow up holding on to that. That was our hope, that they could see God's hand. And when God does intercede and impact you in a way that you're aware of, and even in ways that we would not be thankful. Be thankful that God cares enough to interject himself into our lives. God wants us to recognize that for our perspective. You know, it's easier to teach a child to say please than it is to teach a child to say thank you. Why would that be? Because when he says please, he's going to get something. And when he says thank you, it's already over. You can teach a child to say please quite easily. Say please. Speak for a doggy. They'll speak. You know, hold that treat. You ever try to teach a dog to say thank you? Maybe that's off the point. Let's just say it's not the same. There's incentive to say please. There's a harder lesson to teach in order to be able to understand to say thank you. Romans, going down, 1, verse 18. Says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What may be known of God is manifest, obvious in them, for God has shown it to them. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. It actually references thankful as one of the critical failures, not being thankful, one of the critical failures when a person does not recognize God or his creation or know who he is. Nor were thankful, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Can you imagine comparing spiritual darkness to, at least in part, not being thankful? It seems such a simple concept and yet such a huge consequence. And yet that is the way the contrast there is being made. To glorify God means to give him praise and honor and thanks. If you just go to a basic dictionary, look up glory, glorify, it'll essentially say at least one of the meanings of those terms as it's used is to give praise and honor and thanks. To give thanks is part of giving God glory, showing him respect. We see that in heaven with the angels, the angelic creatures, Revelation 4 and verse number 8. It says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. They do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And it says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks, the angelic creatures before God's throne, in praising God, give him glory, recognizing his majesty and power, honor, and thanks. The angels give God thanks, and they exist in a spiritual condition that is perfect. They give thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. The worship includes giving God glory, honor, and thanks. This is a worship service. We worship God in praise and prayer and in our mind through the day. And a portion of that should include the giving of God thanks for the blessings, the mercy, the kindness that he has shown in so many ways. Quite frankly, for the trials that he has allowed us to face, in which we have had the opportunity to build our faith. Paul actually thanked God for the increase in faith of members of the body because of the trials that they had faced. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. But again, in the midst of that is the giving of thanks. Paul, in all of his epistles, it would seem, I didn't check every single reference, but in so many, it just is so consistently referencing the importance of that concept. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, when it goes through a passage of those things that we should focus on, if you're going to create a culture, then there has to be a right kind of infection that will spread to produce the right kind of result. And that's what this describes in verse number 12, 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. He's saying very directly, do not disrespect those who have the oversight of your care. Do not despise or look down or treat them despitefully. It is a very, very serious matter. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. Does that mean in the good times only? Does that mean when the mattress is fat? Does that mean when our belly is full? It doesn't say that. Rejoice always means always. Pray without ceasing means without ceasing, continuously in an ongoing way. And in everything gives thanks means in all of these things give thanks. Give thanks to God for His mercy, His intervention, His care, His test, His perfecting, His refining. We won't be in the kingdom of God without refinement. We have to have that. It goes back, in my mind, the way I tried to learn to exercise when I would train to be able to, say, climb or do an athletic event. I look at the hill as my friend. I needed the hill. I really didn't need the flat. The flat was of some benefit. No, I needed the hill. If you didn't train on the hills, you didn't build strength. You could cruise out on the flats if you're in shape or hair fairly well conditioned, and you could do that, quite frankly, easily. But easily would not get me where I wanted to be. It took the hills. And I found that if I began to look at that hill as, oh no, now I've got to suffer my way up this hill, then it began to be a burden to face the hill. But when I would look at that hill and says, thank you, my friend, this is what I need, it was easier. Life was easier. And so God is just saying, you know, if you give thanks in everything, life will be easier. You will look at trial and test in a different way, not always happy. That's not the point. Joy and happiness are two things. They're not exactly the same. To rejoice includes being thankful. It doesn't mean the hills will feel good. They will feel better. The trials will not be as painful. There will be benefit. There will be purpose that simply goes beyond the immediate focus. It's interesting, Terry and I speak together again, because when I first went to Omaha, Nebraska, Terry was the pastor. And so I served under him there for a couple of years. But I asked him on the way down, I said, were you there when we hit the deer? He says, oh yeah. He says, you got the last deer in the county. You know, we were coming home in our van one night, right around dusk, and a deer, Michelle and I are in the car, and a deer jumps out of the side of the ditch, and I smacked the deer absolute, just straight head on. And I couldn't believe it. It's like, what would you be looking at if you had a fly on both glasses right there? You'd be looking at the fly. Well, I had this deer kind of, you know, laying on the front of the car, literally, and I'm looking at this deer, And so I stopped and I hit the brakes, and the deer literally came off the front of the car and then slid down the highway in front as I'm braking the car, and I'm watching this deer slide away. And then I looked up and I was in the opposing lane. This was a very busy road. It was an arterial back then. It was a highway. And we were in dusk. It was basically at that time of year, whatever that was. It was just a busy time. There were a lot of traffic. There's a lot of traffic. And I had literally crossed over the lane in the opposing lane without knowing I'm watching this deer. And I look up, and there's cars coming, but they're a safe distance away. Now, there was an opening in that traffic enough for me to come across, see where I was, and safely return. Now, it wrecked our car, and I could certainly focus on the first event. But I believe God also protected our lives, and that's the thanks and the gratefulness that I would give God then. It was clear to me that as soon as we were back, then the cars were full and the highway was full and the lanes were busy again. So it is easy sometimes to look at the loss, and the loss overpowers our focus without being able to see maybe in that sense a greater picture that God is overall directing our course if we submit ourselves to Him. I don't want to live this life literally apart from God's intervention and care. I don't want to just take the odds, good or bad or whatever they would be. I want God's protection. And then I will live my life in confidence and faith that if there is good, then I will certainly rejoice in it. And if there is evil or bad and suffering, then God has certainly given allowance for that for His greater purpose. We can thank God always for His part that He has worked in our lives. There's an interesting custom that is in the church coming from the Bible, an instruction in a specific way to give thanks before we eat. And because of the King James, the old King James, and some of the way those words are used, it's the blessing. Can you bless anything? Can you say, you know, bless this food? What does it mean to bless the food? It just means to give thanks. I've heard the prayers or take out all the impurities. If, as I used recently in a sermon, if you just put a pinch of manure in that food and you bless it, are you going to eat it? You're not going to eat it. And you're not going to imagine for a minute that that pinch has just been removed. So there is one thing in certainly asking God to protect us in our lives. But the point of that is simply in the giving of thanks. And I want to point that out. Matthew 26 uses two different terms that are very closely related, but it shows you the context, and then I will show another one that makes it more specific. But Matthew 26 and verse 26 says, they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. Now, Jesus Christ can certainly bless the bread, but you know, the bread isn't happier after it's been blessed than it was before. It's not more fruitful after it was blessed than before. The point is, He's giving thanks. He's not actually saying, all right, you will turn into five bread and you're only one bread. He's giving thanks. He blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. Then He took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. So it's not like He's blessing one and being thankful for the other. They're two different terms, but they're very closely related. They're essentially referencing the same thing. He's simply giving thanks to God for these things. And it's an instruction and example that we are to do as well. So then go to 1 Corinthians 11. See it in a little different context. You know, I personally, you can do as you please. The words are there. One is kind of an older English, but I never ask anybody to bless the food. I just, in my mind, I know what it means. I ask them, please, would you give thanks? And again, you can certainly make your choice on that. But the meaning of those words is, in some cases, more historical and not as modern. But 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, Paul speaking, he says, I received from the Lord, same one who was recorded in Matthew 26, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. So the one account says he blessed it, and then he thanked God for the wine. But here it just says when he had broke the bread, he gave thanks. Or he gave thanks and broke it. And said, take, eat, this is my body broken in remembrance of you. And then it just said in the same manner he took the cup. And the same manner means he also gave thanks for the cup as well, because the account in Matthew shows that that was so. So in a specific way, giving thanks always would even include in our own conscience as we choose to remember God and thanks for the food that he has given us. Because that example is here. I don't think we should be afraid to take a bite without thanking God, but you know what? I think we should consciously be thanking God always as an ongoing manner in our mind. It doesn't have to always be formal, of course. It doesn't need to be in some open way or visibly or audibly spoken. But it does need to be in place. But going back, I think probably one of the hardest things to be thankful for is our trials. I mean, how hard is that? Boy, I've had a hard day. Thank you, God. And boy, that was a terrible night. Thank you, God. That's hard. It's always been an issue that I think many of us have processed in terms of the reference there in James. James is verse 2, chapter 1. My brethren, count it joy when you fall into various trials. I remember a man who attended services once that actually prayed for trials. I said, go for it, you know. And I'll tell you what, life went downhill rather quickly. I don't pray for trials. I do pray for character, which is related. But in God's mercy, God helped me to refine you so that it might worship you. And, you know, it's like, well, you're going to have to be the judge. Believe me, I'm not looking for trouble, all right? I got trouble one time. I actually prayed for humility. Man, it was like being under, you know, trauma for a month. It just went on and went on and went on. And I'm going, okay, God, you know, I think maybe I'm not there yet, but I'm as far as I want for now. Honestly, even praying for humility, I'm very cautious. That's big stuff. Because how does humility come? By being humbled. I mean, same thing, right? And that's a tough thing. So I want to be careful about that. When it says count it joy, it doesn't say count it as fun. It doesn't say count it, you will now be happy. Joy is different. It's like rejoicing. It's worship to God. It's giving thanks to God. It's recognizing his perfection. But he says, here's what is a rejoicing in the trial, is that knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, that there's some benefit. It's not just a random act or event. There's benefit. It produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Don't begrudge the trial. There is a benefit. That's the point. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Don't begrudge the hills. Don't begrudge the sprint. Don't begrudge the strain. There are times when it, quite frankly, is simply necessarily to be in place. You know, again, too often we can focus on our loss instead of our potential gain. There was a Sue Berg in Wyoming has been keeping touch with Sandy as she goes across and relaying emails to me. And And I've also spoken with Sandra by the phone. But this came in, and it was in addition to the original announcement I read, but I wanted to read it to you. This is after the first repair broke down, got the first repair made, heads out on the road, and Sue writes, Sandra just called again this morning with an update. This is after the second breakdown. She has AAA for towing. That was good news. She could get towed into the city. But they didn't arrive till 1:30 a.m. By 3 a.m., she was at a repair place in Rock Springs. So I guess you look on the map, you'll see where she is. Where she and her son could finally get some sleep in the van until the mechanic arrived in the morning. And it was a fan belt and a damaged fan or shroud as well. But it says, and this is in Sue's words, I don't think she just made this up, obviously. She's talking to Sandy in some way, but she said, Friday evening, Sandra and her son enjoyed watching a beautiful sunset. Once it got dark and no trucks were passing by, they could see millions of stars, even the Milky Way. Now, can you imagine? You know, they're not, well, at least not in public, shaking their fists, you know. Sandra's out there, and they're watching the sunset. Of course, they're broke down out here, and life's not looking real good at the moment. But then they could look up and see millions of stars, even the Milky Way. There's something to praise God about. And I just thought it was interesting as it came back. You know, it's a hard thing for those who need to express their grievance in life to someone else. There are times when we cry, there are times when we hurt, there are times when we are in pain. But those are heavy things. And if you're always in pain and always hurt and always crying, you're going to find that there are fewer and fewer and fewer people that have the emotional reserves to listen. I'm sorry to say, it's just how life works. And so we have to process our life where that pain can be shared as needed with those people who are able to listen. But we must add in our joy, rejoicing, our thanksgiving, and praise, even in our trial, for that even to be bearable. You see in the cartoons, somebody walks around, there's a rain cloud over their head, and it's always raining wherever they go. But there are people in the cartoon next to them, it's not raining on their head, and they're in the same place. The point being made, brethren, that part of our environment is the environment that we choose as compared to the environment that takes place. There's still an opportunity to look up and see the stars. Michelle has commented on her bucket list, and I don't know that she has a very long one. She's got at least one item on it. She wants to see the brilliance of the Milky Way in absolute darkness that she sees portrayed on pictures. And she's actually been in places where you could, and I don't know, maybe she just didn't think at the time to go out and look, but you don't see it in Spokane. You can see it in Wyoming. Sandra just saw it in Wyoming, Jeremy. You can see it at base camp on Rainier. Unbelievable. You can see it in New Mexico when I lived on a ranch in New Mexico out in the desert and there were no lights except the one corral light. You could walk off to the side and it would be stars right to the horizon. Brilliant. You could see the edge of the galaxy in the disk, the thick band of stars. Michelle wants to see that. Well, Sandra and Jeremy just saw it. Michelle'd rather be home with her car working. That's fine. But, you know, there's something to be given thanks to God for in all things. We need to always keep our focus. There are things that we do have. There are things that all of us do have. And we should not neglect to be grateful for those. In the book of Colossians, Chapter 3. When you're appreciative, it feels better than when you are not. It literally mentally and emotionally and spiritually feels better. Colossians 3 and verse number 12 says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. This is a culture. This is the bacteria, so to speak, if we use that analogy, that is going to then reproduce if these are the things that are inserted into the mix. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. You can say, well, first give me peace, then I'll be thankful. But that's not how cultures work. First you be thankful and see if it doesn't increase your peace. See if it doesn't, if first be forgiving, see if that doesn't increase your peace. When you have a complaint against someone and you hold on to it, the complaint becomes bigger. When you forgive someone and let God be the judge and you do not hold account in that way, quite frankly, your mind will actually put that thought away. It's a path. You walk a path, you trample it down. You walk it with all your friends, it becomes a wider path. You take your car down it, it becomes a road. You stop driving down that road, it becomes a path. You stop walking on it, it'll grow up and go away. The mind is like that. We have to choose the things that we want to retain in our thoughts. And we need to choose the things that we want to go away. And let them go away. But forgiveness, thankfulness produce a particular culture in our mind. That contributes to our peace. We live in a world that does not have a lot of peace. But we live before God in a way that He allows us to have that by Him. Being thankful, I don't think, is just an action. I think it's a perspective. I don't think you can just at some point say, well, I'm going to now be thankful. And what am I thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for this. And I'm thankful for that. I think that's how we learn, maybe, to begin to process that. But being thankful is actually a perspective. It's the way we think. It's how we feel. It's emotionally based as well. And again, the peace of God comes with it. Ephesians 5, verse number 1. Can you imagine, brethren, by God's grace and through His power, we produce the culture that we live in. Perilous times are around us, but the culture that we are in is the one that we have chosen by God's guide and direction and accepting His influence. We actually have our own culture that surrounds us in a personal way. Ephesians 5 says, therefore, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting. The opposite of that, he says, in culture is, but rather, the giving of thanks. One is self-interested and self-focused and quite frankly, derogatory and destructive. And the other is building and nurturing and growing and peaceful. The giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Going on over to verse 15, See then that you walk circumspectly. Think about where you place your feet. Consider what enters your mind. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. There you go. Is the limit switch the bottle is empty? Or is the limit switch, this is proper, and this is right, and this is good? Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with Spirit, the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, again, for all that God gives us and allows us to experience and to understand, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So being thankful doesn't mean that somehow we will no longer suffer pain or experience loss. It doesn't mean that life is now going to be fun. Being thankful is a matter of perspective. When you come into the presence of God, you're supposed to come into His presence with what? Thanksgiving. Very, very clear. Psalm 100. Very short psalm. Very specific. But God says, when you come into my presence, how many angels at God's throne do you think are complaining to God about something? You know? Do you remember that time you allowed me to, you know, have this, whatever it was, happen to me? You know, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be quite there in that way. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We're His people. And the sheep of His pasture. It's portraying coming into the temple, the house of God, to worship God. That doesn't mean you can't beseech God, but as Paul said, even in asking a request of God, give your thanks along with the request. Don't leave the thanks out and just say, here's what I would wish from you. But it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. Brethren, we do need to be careful to always be thankful, not just in a specific response to a specific blessing, but as a way of life. Being thankful is indeed the way of life that we need to be living.